Now Allah gives us an example. After explaining the truth, أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَسَالَتْ أَوْدِيَةٌ بِقَدَرِهَا فَاحْتَمَلَ السَّيْلُ زَبَدًا رَابِيًا وَمِمَّا يُوقِدُونَ عَلَيْهِ فِي النَّارِ ابتغاء حلية أو متاع زبد مثله كذلك يضرب الله الحق والباطل فأما الزبد فيذهب جفاء وأما ما ينفع الناس فيمكث في الأرض كذلك يضرب الله الأمثال. Please highlight this example. It's an awesome example. Allah sends down water from the sky and the valleys flow according to their measure. But the flood bears away the foam that mounts up to the surface, and also from that ore which they heat in the fire, in order to make ornaments or utensils, rises a foam like unto it. Thus does Allah show forth truth and falsehood. Then as for the foam, it passes away as scum upon the banks, while that which is for the good of mankind remains in the earth. Thus Allah sets forth parables. Now we find in this example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah sends down rain from the sky. What is this rain? Elsewhere we learn that this rain is the rain of divine guidance. This rain is the rain of knowledge. And the valleys flow according to their measure. In other words, rain falls everywhere, but different parts of land absorb the rain according to their different capacity. And the flood bears away the foam that mounts up to the surface. Now as the water falls on the ground, and as the water level rises, there's an increasing level of foam. Now let's understand this example. We can understand it from a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, "The example of guidance and knowledge with which Allah has sent me is like abundant rain." So this rain falling on the earth is the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. Some of which was fertile soil that absorbed rainwater and brought forth vegetation and grass in abundance. Now imagine this rain falling upon fertile land. Now what happens is that the fertile land absorbs the water and it irrigates crops and vegetation. In other words, it benefits itself and it benefits people. Another portion of it was hard and held the rainwater. And Allah benefited the people with it and they utilized it for drinking. Now we come to the second land. The second example of land is that land which is hard. It's not benefiting the water. It's not absorbing the water itself. But what happens is it's retaining the water, so other people are using that water. And a portion of it was barren, which could neither hold the water nor bring forth vegetation. The third portion of land, neither benefiting itself nor others. The first is the example of the person who comprehends Allah's religion, who studies Islam, who studies the Quran, who studies the Sunnah, and gets benefit from the knowledge which Allah has revealed through me. In other words, the first land, the fertile land which absorbed the water and benefited people, is that person who's acting upon it, benefiting himself and teaching others as well. The second example is one who taught others but did not act upon it. He's teaching others the Quran, he's teaching others the Sunnah, but he's not bothering to act upon it himself. So what is his example like? That land which is hard, it's not benefited itself, but at least someone is benefiting from it. And the third is that of a person who does not care for it, who's not interested in the Quran. Oh, I'm not ready to hear the Quran. No, I'll do this but later on, I don't have time right now. Who does not care for it and does not take Allah's guidance revealed through me. He is like that barren land. Now let's all of us analyze ourselves. We've all received the Quran. We all have a copy of the Quran in our house. We all sometimes have hadith books in our house. How many of us have absorbed this teaching ourselves and are actually conveying it? That's the best portion of land. And on the second stage, if we're not acting upon it, at least are we conveying it to others, benefiting someone? Or are we, God forbid, the third example, neither are we interested in studying it, and nor do we care about conveying it to others. We can all analyze ourselves. Now Allah says, after this rain has fallen, and different people have absorbed it according to their different capacities, what happens is, as the water level rises, so does the level of foam. Now what is foam? form here is all the obstacles, all the objections that we meet with when we set out in this path of learning Allah's deen. What do people tell us? You're too young for this. What are you doing wasting your time on this? It's not going to help you in your career. Or alternatively, if you're married, what about your children? Your children come first. Your husband comes first. Your family comes first. And on and on and on. And the only thing which we ignore is Allah's book. Is that what we think of Allah? Is that how much we value Him? That we've left Him for our old age? When we've got nothing more interesting to do? Oh, then I'll study Islam. مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ They did not value Allah as was His right. Allah who is Malikul Muluk, who has given us everything. And we say, oh, I'm too young to learn about Islam. Oh, my job doesn't leave me time to learn about Islam. My children don't give me time to learn about Islam. Allah says, this is all form. In other words, what is the reality of form? It's nothing. You put your hand in it and nothing comes out. So all the objections, all the obstacles which people try and put in your path, all the taunts that you have to hear, all the criticism that you have to hear, it's nothing. It's insubstantial. It has no reality. And Allah gives us another example. Also, from that ore which they heat in the fire, in order to make ornaments or utensils, rises a foam like unto it. In other words, when gold is being purified, it has to pass through stages. It has to pass through primary and secondary stages, whereby the gold is melted and purified from the base elements. Allah is reminding us that when we set out in this path, we will face obstacles, we will face trials, but if we can remain steadfast, then we are actually being purified from the baser elements within us. From the elements of hypocrisy, of doubt, of arrogance. Allah purifies us by means of all these trials. Thus does Allah show forth truth and falsehood. As Amina Salmi said, when someone asked her, how do you think of yourselves before Islam and after Islam? Now this woman went through trials like we can't even imagine. Lost her husband, lost her children, lost her job, lost everything. She has cancer right now. And what did she say? She said, before Islam I was like a pretty little jeweled cup, a beautiful goblet, but the goblet was empty. And now the cup is old, it's worn, it's shabby, and it's almost broken, but it's brimming over with love of Allah. Allah says, if you can pass through this purification stage, you're the ones who benefit. Then as for the foam, it passes away as scum upon the banks. There will come a time when people will stop taunting you. There will come a time when people will stop saying, why are you doing this? Why are you wasting your time? They'll get tired of it. We have to remain steadfast. As the Prophet ﷺ told a man who came and said, tell me one thing that I have to do. And he said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ Just say, I believe in Allah, then stand firm. Don't let anyone or anything shake you from your determination. Allah says, the foam will pass away as come upon the banks. Do we remember the names of all the enemies of the Prophet ﷺ? We remember the names of a couple, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, and that's about it. The foam passes away as come upon the banks. وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ That which benefits mankind, فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ It remains in the earth. Allah is telling us to be like that fertile land, to absorb the words of Allah, to eagerly imbibe each word that we read. Now, a superficial reading of the Quran is not enough. We need in-depth study. We need in-depth reflection. Allah asks us, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ عَمَلَا قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا Do they not contemplate the Quran? It's not enough just to listen to the Quran or just to read the Quran. Do they not contemplate the Quran or are their hearts sealed? Thus does Allah set forth parables. Now we can think for ourselves, which portion of land do we want to resemble? The fertile portion, benefiting itself and others, or the barren portion, disinterested, not caring? كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ Thus Allah sets forth parables. لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمُ الْحُسْنَى For those who answered their Lord's call is beauty, is goodness. Look at the link between the ayat. Allah gives us the example that this rain, this Quran has come to all of us. We're all absorbing according to our different capacities. Now Allah tells us for those who answered their Lord's call. Not those who kept the Quran in their houses and read it once every Ramzan and thought that was it. For those who answered their Lord's call. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about the Quran? Al-Quran ma'dubatullah. This Quran is Allah's banquet. And what is ma'duba? That banquet held by a king in which he invites those worthy of the feast to attend it. Now this feast is being held by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of us have appreciated his invitation? How many of us even thank Allah for this chance to read the Quran? For this chance to learn what's in the Quran? Allah has told us, "Huwa khayrun mimma yajma'un." This Quran is better than all that they collect. Is that how we value it, or like a duty? Yes, I want to read the Quran once so that at least I know what's in it, and after that then, you know, maybe some years later I can do something about studying it further. Huwa khayrun mimma yajma'un. If we were to learn that a treasure is being distributed, people hear that a free injections are being given and they land up there with 10 children. Huwa khayrun mimma yajma'un. This treasure is being distributed, but how many of us care? In this world, if we hear that a best friend of ours has had a party and not invited us to it, how do we feel? Offended, hurt, upset. Even if we didn't want to go to that party, we still feel annoyed. Why didn't he invite me? Allah says, لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمُ الْحُسْنَى. Those who responded to that invitation, those who attended that banquet, those who partook of the food served in the banquet, for them is beauty. But those who did not answer his call, if they had all that is in the earth, together with its like, they would offer it in order to save themselves. Those who say, oh no, the Quran is too frightening. I know what's in the Quran, I've read it before, I'm not interested. I'm too busy. For those who do not answer his call, for them, if they had all that is in the earth, together with its like, they would offer it in order to save themselves. Now this is very interesting. What keeps people away from the Quran? Fear of losing the world. But here is Allah telling us that if you stay away from the Quran, on the day of judgment, you would offer all that you had of the world, together with its like, to save yourself. For them there will be the terrible reckoning. Their dwelling place will be hell, and worst indeed is that place for rest. أَفَمَنْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ الْحَقُّ كَمَنْ هُوَ أَعْمَى. Shall then he who knows what has been revealed to you from your Lord is the truth be like him who is blind? See, we people think that, oh, we've all said La ilaha illallah, so we'll all go to Jannah, and the Prophet will intercede for all of us, and Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Look at the comparison Allah is giving. Allah is not talking about Muslim or Kafir here. Allah is talking about one who studied the Quran. One who knows what's in the Quran is the truth. Can he be like the one who is blind, spiritually blind, not interested in knowing what's in the Quran, never bothered to study it, just read it once and thought that was enough? إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. It is only the men of understanding that pay heed. How do we answer Allah's call? We're all here today at Allah's invitation. Is this it? Is this enough? We can go home feeling we've done our duty? الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. Those to whom we have given this Quran, recite it as is its right of recitation. What is the right of recitation of the Quran? That we read it in Arabic. That we read it with the translation, with understanding. That we contemplate it. That we act upon it. And then we convey it to others. Are we doing all these things? If we are, then we have truly responded to Malikul Muluk's invitation. But if we're not, we've just read it once in Arabic, or we've read the translation and we think that's enough, then we've not answered his invitation. It is only the men of depth, people of understanding, that pay heed. Now Allah says that pay heed, in other words, they do something about it. They don't just say astaghfar and think that's it. No, they get up, start studying the Quran. They start learning the Quran. Who are these people? الَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِعْدِ اللَّهِ. Those who fulfill the covenant of Allah. What covenant is this? La ilaha illallah. We've also taken it, haven't we? Do we fulfill it? We think our job is done just by saying La ilaha illallah 100 times a day. Those who fulfill the covenant of Allah and break not the bond. In other words, they obey Allah above all. They seek Allah above all. They fear Allah above all. وَالَّذِينَ يَفِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلُ. those who join that which Allah has commanded to be joined. Right after Huququllah, Allah mentions Huququl Ibad, the rights of people upon us. Islam doesn't simply say pray all day and do what you like to your relatives. No, those who join that which Allah has commanded to be joined. We're all familiar with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's definition of Sila Rahmi, when he said, the gist of which was, true Sila Rahmi is not that you're good to the relative who's good to you. True Sila Rahmi is that you're good to the relative who's bad to you. Those who join that which Allah has commanded to be joined, وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ, they fear their Lord. This word يَخْشَوْنَ is so beautiful. It isn't just fear, where you think of Allah as this harsh God who might punish you. No, that's not يَخْشَوْنَ. يَخْشَوْنَ is reverent awe, where you stand before Allah and your heart is trembling with fear. Where you stand before Allah and you're full of deference, you're full of respect, you're full of reverence, knowing you're standing before the King of all kings. يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ, they reverently fear their Lord. وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ, they fear the terrible reckoning. Why are they afraid of the hisab? These people are obeying Allah and fulfilling people's rights. This is the moment that he still prays for hidayat. He still says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He doesn't complacently assume that, well, I'm doing so much, and I'm teaching the Quran, and I'm fulfilling my parents' rights, so Allah is bound to forgive me. Like we hear people say, you know, there's only one thing in which I disobey Allah, and otherwise I'm a really good person, and my heart is really pure. That's not a mu'min. يَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ, they are still afraid. They are still afraid of the Day of Judgment. Because complacency is the first step towards arrogance. What got Shaitan when he said, I am better than Adam? So what got Shaitan was his arrogance. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنُّ, I am better than he. I worship you for much longer than this. You created me from fire and him from clay. يَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ, they fear the terrible reckoning. See, Allah presents different aspects of the mu'min's personality. Elsewhere we learned, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Allah described this personality of a mu'min, that Allah loves them and they love Allah. They spend their life in jihad, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, in the path of Allah. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ, they do not fear the blame of anyone who blames. With people they are fearless, no compromise, no apologies. But with Allah, يَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ, they fear the terrible reckoning. وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا, and those who do sabr. After reading Surah Yusuf, we realize the dimensions of sabr. What are the dimensions of sabr? To be constant in doing good deeds, to be constant in abstaining from evil, and to be patient at times of distress. Not that they pray and say, well, I've seen what good my prayers did me, I'm not going to pray anymore. No, وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا, in good times and in bad times, in wealth and in adversity, in health and in sickness, those who remain patient. اِبْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِمْ, what gives them the courage to do all this? What gives them the strength? Because they are seeking the being of their Lord. See, Allah says, رَبِّهِمْ, because they have identified themselves as being Allah's slaves, Allah loves them too. Allah doesn't say seeking the being of Allah. Allah says seeking the being of their Lord, of their Creator. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ, and they establish salah. People who say, well, you know, my social work is really important and since I'm a doctor, I don't have time to pray. But Allah knows that this is more important. أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ, they establish salah. Not that they read it when they have the time, or they read it when they remember, or when they've got nothing else to do. أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ, they establish salah. Salah is an integral part of their lives. وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً, they spend from that which we have provided them. Now we have such a limited concept of sadqa, that if I sacrifice a goat, that's a sadqa. Sadqa is everything we give someone voluntarily. Whether a smile, whether a word of good advice, whether a kind word of forgiveness, whether money, whether knowledge, whether talent, whether time, they spend of the blessings Allah has given them. They're not selfish. They're not egotistical, wanting it all for themselves. أَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ, they don't give everything away. Allah doesn't say give all your money away. No, they are balanced, they are moderate. They share some of the blessings Allah has given them. Sirran wa alaniya, secretly and openly. They're not doing it for people's sake. They do it when no one's there, and they'll do it before people as well. There are some sadaqat, such as zakat, that even if we give before people, it's a good thing. So people are reminded of their own responsibilities as well. But of course, we have to remember that the advantages of secret sadaqah, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that one of the people who will be in Allah's shade on the day when there is no shade, is the man or woman who spends so generously, but he doesn't let his left hand know what his right hand is doing. In other words, he spends all the time secretly without letting anyone know, lest his niyyah be adulterated. وَيَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ They ward off evil with good. What does this mean, to ward off evil with good? See, sometimes we could be doing all of this, but when someone does wrong to us, woe betide that person. That's when we're not going to take it anymore. The Prophet ﷺ once said, the gist of which was, do not let people's conduct be your yardstick. It is wrong to say that if people do good, we'll do good. That's what we say too, isn't it? That if someone is good to me, then I'll be good to them. But if they're mean to me, then I'll show them who I am. No, if people do injustice to you, then do not do injustice to them. Make yourself follow one principle. If people are good to you, be good. And if people are cruel to you, do not do injustice to them. And this was the Prophet ﷺ's own conduct. He didn't just preach something and not practice it. We read yesterday how when he entered Makkah and two of his bitterest enemies came up to him, what did he tell them? La tasriba alaykum al-yawm. There is no reproach on you this day. Yaghfirullahu lakum. May Allah forgive you. And only someone of an exalted standard of behavior can pray for his enemy. Sometimes we can forgive our enemy, but it's very difficult to pray for them. Yaghfirullahu lakum. May Allah forgive you. Wa huwa arhamur rahimin. He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عُقْبَ الدَّارِ For such people there is a beautiful end. We all want Jannah. We should read this ayat, highlight it, and analyze each and every feature that Allah has presented before us. Do I do this or not? جَنَّةُ عَدْنٍ For them is paradise, everlasting. يَدْخُلُونَهَا They will enter it. وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ Those who acted righteously from among their fathers and their mates and their children. Now even a mu'min who's been doing all these good things, even he cannot take along a sinner with him into Jannah. Like, you know, some people generally joke and say, oh, my father was really good, so I'll just cling to him and he can take me in Jannah. Allah says, man salaha, every man for himself. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ Salamun alaykum bima sabartum. And angels shall enter upon them from every door, saying, peace be on you, for you persevered in patience. Sabr, that's the name of the game. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, khayrul umuri adwamuhu wa in qalla. The best deed is that which is most constant, even if it is a little. Even if we're reading 3 verses of the Quran daily, in tartib, in sequence, that's better than we read 10 siparas every Ramzan and don't touch the Quran for the rest of the year. Allah says, and how beautiful indeed is the final home. وَالَّذِينَ يَنْقُذُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ Now after presenting one scenario, Allah shows us another person. Those who break the covenant of Allah after its ratification, who break that which Allah has commanded to be joined. We find generally that people who do not fulfill Allah's rights, very rarely fulfill people's rights. And even if they do fulfill people's rights, it's generally for an ulterior motive. Allah says, those who break the covenant of Allah, after its ratification, we've all said, when Allah asked us, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ Am I not your Lord? We all said, Bala, indeed. Now those of us who break this, now how do we break the covenant of Allah? There are people who say, I don't believe in it. And there are people who don't say anything but don't act upon it. This was the satanic kufr. Shaitan did not say, I don't believe in Allah. He said, I'm not going to obey Allah because it doesn't make sense to me. So when people say, oh, salat doesn't make sense to me, or giving up interest doesn't make sense to me, then they are committing the satanic kufr. Those who break the covenant of Allah after its ratification, and break that which Allah has commanded to be joined. People who break off relationships. Oh, she was so cruel to me and she didn't invite me to her son's wedding, I'm not going to talk to her again. وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, those who spread mischief in the land, corruption in the land. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ اللَّعْنَةِ, for them is the curse. What curse is this? Being deprived of Allah's mercy. And for them is the evil home. اللَّهُ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ, Allah increases the provision for whom He wills and straightens. Now what is the link between the ayat? One minute Allah speaking of someone who is breaking Allah's pact, and the next minute Allah is talking about risk being in His hands. What is it that keeps us away from Allah? Fear of losing out on the world. If I obey Allah, if I start hijab, my friends won't meet me anymore. If I give up interest, I won't be able to go abroad every year. If I give up haram, then I won't have so much fun anymore. Allah reminds us, Allah increases the provision for whom He wills and straightens. And that's why we find sometimes people spend their entire life struggling for this world and their business never prospers. And you wonder to yourself, it's not fair. Why isn't he doing well? Why aren't they prospering when they struggle so much? Educated students return from abroad and they can't find a job in Pakistan. Allahu yabsutu rizqa liman yasha. This is because risk is in Allah's hands. And they rejoice in the life of this world. Farihu bil hayat ad-dunya. Allah says it incredulously. They rejoice in the life of this world, whereas the life of this world as compared with the hereafter is but a brief passing enjoyment. Such superficial vision. Allah tells us in a hadith, the gist of which is that I have prepared a Jannah for my believers, the like of which no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no heart has ever imagined. Those are the delights that we can gain for ourselves. Right now, the choice is ours. But Allah says, are you content to be in this world? You're so engrossed in your children and your committees and your lunches and your careers and your jobs that the hereafter is not even something to think about? That I've read my salat for the day and that's it. Oh, what more can Allah expect from me after all? Is that what we want? Allah says, the life of this world as compared with the hereafter is but a brief, passing enjoyment.